This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run up in the woods somewhere up in Liberty County area and check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat this morning. I think he's in the woods. Mike, good morning. What's up?
Well, I'm up there in these woods.
Standing on that stump.
Yeah, I am trying to keep you
getting a cell signal.
Yep. So now we're up here in the bottoms.
Well, I thought about you yesterday. I was laughing. I went out on the patio and fed my dog, and I'm sitting there, and those crows were back, and I've never seen this, but I saw a crow and a squirrel fighting over a pecan.
Oh, yeah.
The squirrel had buried it, so the crow's sitting up there in the tree. When the squirrel went back in the tree, then the crow swooped down, gets on the ground, and starts digging that pecan up. And that squirrel jumped out of that tree and landed on the ground right next to that crow and started stalking him, lunging at him. And then the crow started puffing up to him back, and then the squirrel jumped on the crow. Before I could get my video on, then the squirrel ran back in the tree, and I kept it running, hoping it'd happen again, but it didn't. But I said, look at that, they're fighting over pecans, man. Squirrels and crows, stupid.
Well,
the world's gone crazy, man. When the crows and the squirrels are fighting, everything's fighting.
Well, me and my brother's talking about it. I seen some stuff yesterday morning that I haven't not seen this time of year.
Right.
I seen several different squirrels, and I seen more squirrels yesterday than I've probably seen in 20 years. There for 45 minutes an hour, I could not look in any direction and not see squirrels.
Really? Well, good call.
And I'm talking about just going nuts. I mean, they are
cold winter coming, you think?
Yep. I watched two different squirrels building a nest yesterday. And that's, they're working on them. I mean, they're not just throwing them together. They're taking their time and really weaving that stuff in. And it's just crazy. And another thing, there are a bunch of males are all swole up. So that tells you they're trying to rut.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be no rutting going on this time of year.
Well, no, they've been chasing in my yard for a while now. I mean, just round the tree, up the tree, down the tree, across the yard, back in another tree. There's some chasing going on right now at my house on the squirrels. Isn't that crazy? It was crazy, so I lost him. Well, we did lose him. Hey, there went the pop. Try him again, Jace. See if you can get him back up. Yeah. The old timers, they'd take a persimmon and cut the seed in half inside the persimmon and see what was in it, whether it was a fork, knife, or a spoon, to tell you what kind of winter you had coming. I don't know whether that's... They swore by it, but we'll see. The way the wildlife's acting right now, yeah, it could be. But we were supposed to have a giant hurricane season this year, too, and we didn't get it like originally assumed. But maybe we'll get a cold winter. I hope it's not too cold. We don't need any more of those, like 2021. We don't want that. All right, let's see if this will work again. All right, Mike.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I don't know.
You just
I took my foot off the stump.
Drifted off in the sunset, buddy.
Yep. But no, that's all shaking. I mean, it's pretty hot. You know, we ain't even tried deer hunt in the evenings. It's just too hot.
Yeah.
Getting some pictures of some pretty nice deer, but
how's your
feeding nice problem? Enough for me to get. I don't know here. I mean, other than the pictures, you know, I can't really tell, you know, by the pictures of it, if they've got one or two on them, you know, there's a bunch of fawns running around, but I hope there, you know, a bunch of twins on there this year.
That's what I'm hearing from everybody down south, twin fawns on every doe.
Well, that's, pretty good crop. You know, that's, yeah, it's a good year, and that's all about nutrition, so.
It is.
You know what that mom can handle. That's
sure.
You know, she, you know, I got, like I said, I got one of the cows got triplets, so.
Dang.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I watched all three of them. Nurse. Same time.
Well, people don't realize how, you know, deer herds can explode like that. You've got 100 does on your property, and they all have twins. Well, boom.
Yeah.
How many deer you
big
have then?
Explosion. You know, it's kind of like a box. That's a big boy. Explosion.
Yeah, they drop dozens.
Yeah.
How many times does a hog drop in a year's time? Three times, something like that?
Twice.
Twice? Yeah. I knew it was a bunch.
Yeah, but to where it multiplies up, a hog can breed 6 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, what that sow drops and you put that on, that's a lot.
That is. I'm telling you.
Yeah, one sow they were saying can produce the last amount of 200 pigs a year, but you got to remember there'd be a third cycle on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still going into another year to do it. Gestation's, you know, really short, so.
Well, I'm sure y'all are good and dry down in that bottom, huh?
Oh, man, it's dry. You know, I'm not complaining, though. I mean, it's dusty, but I'm not complaining because, you know, the way these animals are acting, I don't know what I'm be looking for.
Or well, you don't have a lot of good undergrowth and everything and vegetation from, you know, the rains we had earlier in the year.
Right,
so.
We do. Yeah. We do. Everything's good.
I'm good.
Yeah. The pecans, there's not that many because we just don't have enough mature trees. But,
yeah.
You know, them crows, they're working on them faster than the squirrels are, you know. But the acorns, I'm going to say 75% of them are rotten.
Really?
Because I watch squirrels, just, yeah, just, especially them red oaks yesterday. But no, they cut, I mean, they pulling them, they'll take one bite and spit it out, you know, because it's rotten and so. You know, and they're cutting on everything. I mean, there's pretty much everything down here has got something on it. You know, even cypress boughs, and they're cutting them cypress boughs. And that's the first cypress boughs we've had in, well, 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Texas wanted to make it down 5 years today. And
how's Tex doing, there. Man? He's hanging in there, ain't he?
He's hanging in tough, so. He's going to try to kill a few this morning. Yeah. I told him, I know
there must be something good in the water over there in Conroe for him and Billy Mills. They still Cadillacing, man.
Yeah.
There are some, there's some real old-timers there, buddy.
Yep. No. Yeah, that's about, you know, it's weather in Venice, so I'm kind of glad I ain't been there, so.
Yeah, we got a lot of northeast wind down here on the coast this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not blowing that much up there where you're at, but we got a little breeze down here on the coast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we should get after it and see what happens, so.
Y'all going to use dogs? You just going to steal hunt or what?
No, we're just steal hunting. We can't have dogs still.
Oh, that's right, because they're bow season. Yeah, that's right, deer.
Yeah, yeah. And you couldn't, I mean, oh, you could hunt with a dog right now, but you're not going to see them squirrels with all these leaves on it. You know, if you're lucky enough, got a vine on it, you'd make him move then,
yeah,
kill him. But it's, I never hunted this time of year with a dog, even where it was possible to do. So
I just had a text come in and said, what does Mike hunt with? What do you shoot?
Well, I'm shooting my 410, but
410,
I mean, yeah, we can't have, yeah, we can't shoot a 22 out here.
Right.
And that goes way, way back. Something happened. I don't know. But 22s are dangerous.
Yeah.
They go a long way. That's why they got a warning on the box.
Long way.
Have ever since. I don't remember.
They ricochet. Ricochet.
Yep.
Yeah, yep, they do.
Yeah, and these, you know, these woods have really got wide open again. So I was on a place yesterday. I could see 500 yards, probably.
Really?
Right down to, yeah, right down to the woods.
Well, cool. Well, man, you have fun with all the buds. Tell Tex hello for me, and I'll get a play-by-play next week. See how y'all did.
All right, bud. All right. Well, have a good one.
Nothing like squirrel hunting, man. It's I miss
it. No, we fixed that big squirrel Friday
started. That's probably the first hunting you did. That and duck hunting was the main hunting when we were kids growing up. That was
absolutely
it. Squirrels and ducks, buddy. All right, well, hey, throw out a number, Mike. Somebody wants to reach out to you, bud.
832-338-9376. Get us on rjhuntingandfishing.com.
All right, bud. Well, don't lose that stump. We'll see you, man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Later. All right. That's Captain Mike Jeffcoat. Hey, getting ready for a big squirrel hunt this morning. That's always fun. I used to really enjoy it. Some people don't get into it that much, but, hey, that's the way it is. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 516 here. All right, let's check in with Plog this morning, see what's up. Hey, James, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Nothing. 5 foot seas. Oh, man, look how high the tide is.
It's bulled up.
Highest I've seen it. I guess last time it was this high.
Yeah, since the last time. Yeah, got you.
No, it's the highest. It's almost over my pit.
Well, we're on the equinox, and plus we got east in the wind. It'll pump it in here, bud.
I know it's blowing. Don't get me wrong, but it don't feel that hard. You look out there at the jetty, it's like 23.
Yeah. I think it was gusting to 20 at Eagle Point earlier, too, when I looked at it.
Yeah. Well, so
it's a little stiff, a little starch.
It was supposed to kind of drop out maybe Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then I got to looking at it, and, man, it don't look all that great. Maybe better, but not great. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We're shut down right now.
I know.
Man, yeah, but it was nice for a couple of days there, man. It was real nice. I thought it was going to get, was it yesterday? No, day before yesterday. they called for it to get a little bumpy in the afternoon, and it did. But man, right about dark time, it got nice again. Man, I thought it was gonna get worse.
Right.
You see that we caught a couple early, man. But the other night, dude, and I don't ever talk about. I can't, you know. I don't like. I don't brag. I don't do nothing. We catch what we catch, or it's good, or it's bad.
Right.
No,
well, you just try to be humble at best, you know.
Well, I just, you know, I know the guys. The whole season's been kind of tough, Mickey, but I know who catches them. Tanner, then Wimmer boys, my friend Jeremy Wilson, who you'll never hear of, probably catches as many tarpon, if not more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on the list, but I'm probably a back burner on the list. About four or five people that actually catch them. And then there's people that catch one or two, and you can't throw it on that phone fast enough. You got to go live, replay it again. Those are the people that catch three or four years, especially this year, because it's not been very good. But the guys that catch them, catch them. Even though it's been tough, they still catch them. So,
sounds like trout fishing.
Yeah, you know the drill. So we catch a fish, oh, man, at like 1 o'clock. Old school, it's moving. Actually, Cameron's seen them, and he's got these Fraser optics, these binoculars. They're like $5,000. And they have a gyro. You can hear the gyro running. Well, he has them for the big boat, but
yeah.
He brings them home. When he starts. I have some that are nice that one of my customers gave me, but they're not like that. And he saw something. I'm running. And I never run fast. I'm plowing, you know. He says, hey, man, I think I got them. And he threw them Frasers on them, and they're like a long way. And they're stabilized. You hit them, and they're such high power. You hit that stabilized, buddy, they stop. He said, yeah, I got them right here. So
it's got like a gyro in it where you don't get any movement. I got you.
Yeah, you can hear it, Mickey. You can hear the motor running.
Right, inside the binoculars. Yeah, that's no wonder they're $5,000. Good Lord.
Yeah, well, they're military. They're called Frasers, but they do break. He sent them in like two or three times. He bought the refurbished ones, and the brand new ones are like $5,000. But, you know, you win one billfish tournament for $1 million, who cares about what the binoculars cost?
True.
Or I can catch two tarpon, I don't care what they cost either, but he's got them, so I ain't going to buy them. So we roll in there, we fool with them, we finally get a bite, we catch one. Then we drive around and around, nothing. And it's getting late, man. I'm like, man, I'm ready to go home. And I went back toward the jetties. But I stopped on a slick, and I told everybody, I said, man, I'm telling y'all, this is them. This them. Man, and I drag around in there and troll around, nothing. I said, man, I know this is them. So I leave, and I go do all this other stuff. And it's late, man, and I'm going home. I'm thinking, man,
thought you were going home.
I said, let me turn, because it was so nice. We had like a little rainstorm kind of thing, but it got nice. Now it's calm.
Right.
I'm like, man, let me go back down there. It's like 3 or 4 miles, however far it was down there. So I turn around. I said, man, I got to be stupid. It's supposed to be dark. I had a rowboat down there, and I'm running back on my track line where I've been fooling with them slicks down there. And I pull it back, and it's just like trout fishing, just boom, boom. I said, man, this is right where they were. I just rolled in there and just put the trolling motor down. I ain't seen nothing. I ain't thought about seeing nothing. So it's got to be them. Hey, I'm trolling the town, looking in the sun. I told Larry, I said, hey, man, I just seen a fish right there on that last lick. I just seen one come up, just barely finning. And I'm looking in the sun. The sun's supposed to go down. I'm trolling up there, and I start marking them. I said, hey, man, I got them. But I ain't stopping. I'm going where I seen that fish. Hey, I put that boat in the middle of them, dude, and everything we own's got a tarpon on it.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, we're laughing. Hey, the sun is going down. It's down. It goes down. We get rid of the first volley, then we throw back out there. Boom, we got two more on. And it's like dark. I think I come through the jetties at, man, I think 8:30.
Good Lord.
So you never know.
No, you don't. Timing's everything. We see it with trout, reds, everything we fish for. It's all timing. You got to be there when they go off.
It was pretty cool. And one of my customers, Sam, that comes with Larry, he just looked at me and said, man, I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. I said, yeah, a lot of people lie have seen nothing like that in their life. That fish, anyway. Do it, don't fish, don't care if you fish. So I tried to duplicate that the next day, and we caught a couple fish early. I actually caught them blind. We marked a few, saw just a handful, but
yeah,
we didn't. But I tell you what, man, about 4:30 when that moon come up, every jackfish and every giant shark in Galveston County was right where we were at. It was insane, dude. You had to just reel stuff in.
Hey, did you see that video off 61st Street Pier and that clear water and all them millions of jackfish? I'm going, man.
You ain't never seen nothing like it. I'm telling you.
And, you know, the 2 days before that, you had just told me about how many jackfish y'all saw out in the Gulf. It was just, you'd never seen anything like it.
And the giant sharks are with them, dude.
It's,
I guess it was almost like everything's moving north. And they, you know, because you can find the
parts of
the
water.
I
hope they don't come
time.
Through them jetties. I don't want them.
Nah, they're done now. They're done now. But you can find them popping a lot in them slicks. But when they got through with that 2 or 3 mile stretch, we're fishing where, you know, where the tarpons are at. I said, look at this, dude. It ain't nothing but solid slick. It's all jackfish slick. It didn't smell good. But you had to reel everything in. I mean, it was, oh, man. And the day before, those fish had been down there about 3 more miles. And you could look past them. You couldn't look through them. And they all came up at one time. You're just seeing a little look at them blowing holes. You look at the bottom machine, you're totally covered up. There ain't even nothing blowing holes. You're just, it's nasty.
Screen's covered up, and you're seeing them on top. Hey, how many fish are in a school like that? That's crazy.
Yeah. And they're biters too, bud. You throw out there casting, they're biting now. So it was pretty cool, but you know, the water temperature ain't done nothing, but it's fun. You kind of watch how everything develops out there. But
yeah,
there's fish scattered, you know, up and down everywhere right now. Maybe not a lot, but there's some everywhere. You can go where you don't have to fish by no boats.
Right.
So after this front.
Oh, you'd pull your hair out what you got left. If you'd see how they fish over there in Florida at Boca Grande. We were there for a redfish tournament one time. They had a big tarpon run going on behind the pass, you know, into the bay, into Charlotte Harbor. And
oh, yeah.
Blaine and I drove by there, and we're going, man, what are all those boats on out there? What are they doing? And then you see a tarpon jump out of the water with a guy on the bow of the boat, and I'm going, they're tarpon fishing. And that's the way they do it there. I mean, I don't know how many, 40, 50 boats, and they're all jumping fish. They're just, you know, behind that pass as they come in and, you know, in and out of the Gulf, into the bay, back and forth. It's crazy.
They post up on them crabs right there. Jim Lavelle went down there fishing. He did it. And they have a big money tournament down there. And here's where I stole.
Yeah, that's when everybody dresses up, and one guy wears a tux while he's, you know, tarpon fishing, and it's crazy. That's a big
money deal.
Big deal.
And they weigh them live right there. You got a deal. But what was happening is, and this is where we stole the jigs that we use. There's a company called Coty Jig.
Yeah.
And they made a bait just for that. It was a round ball of different sizes. And what they did, they don't let them fish them. Now I guess you can go just fish there like that if you want, but in them big tournaments, little redfish guys down there where y'all were fishing, him and his buddy, they roll around there with that bottom machine. They're going through all them big boats. Okay, drop it down. And you drop it down, you jig. Okay, these ain't biting. You go to the next ones. And they was winning all this money. Well, they're not spending no money there. They drive wherever they drive from, show up, buy a bag of ice, and go out there. But they were kicking everybody's butt because they were fishermen. It's kind of a leisure deal for other people. I think they fish with crabs and whatever they fish with.
Right.
So they changed all that. Like the big – I think I'm pretty right about this. The big tournaments, I'm sure that maybe they don't even have anymore, but like the big tarpon tournament, there's no jig fishing like that. And that kind of weeded those guys out. But they were crushing everybody.
Right.
So, hey, when we saw that Cote jig thing, this is years ago. Dana said, I'm going to build some. We need to build some. No, I'm going to make them like that. It was, it, you had different colors, and I tell you what it had on there, Mickey, was an H&H shad tail, tiger stripe. It was chartreuse with black tiger stripes. That's the first one we ever saw. And it, and you zip tied it on a hook. That's how we, I didn't invent all this stuff we're doing. I stole that from that. So right. Dana's going to build one. But he done got him some nails. He's got some round balls and somewhere. I don't know where he got them. And they actually look pretty good. Boy, he spends a lot of time. He kind of puts a drill in there and beats that nail in there and bends it over. And it's pretty cool. And then puts another little nail that holds the tail on there. So we're building jigs. This is big time. We get them. I told Larry this story before. He was laughing. Dana paints them all kind of different colors. Man, that thing is big time. Right. Hey, we're out there casting. I said, man, we're going to get them. And the third cast I made, that nail come out of that ball, that big piece of lead. I don't know what it hit and who it killed. This ain't going to work, man. Oh, Mickey, it was the funniest thing. That was so sad.
That is funny.
So then we figured out you just buy jigs and just cut the hooks off of them because they already got a deal over
right.
there. But that was the story behind that. Hey, when that dude come off that hook, it's like you shot it out of a rifle, man. Oh, gosh. Tremble was involved in that. I think there was some alcohol involved in all that deal back then. But
right.
But you're sure right about those. You're right about those boats, though. Jim told me the same thing. He said, dude, you can walk from boat to boat. He told me, don't ever come
you
here.
Can.
You can. Like this place.
You know, I'd never seen anything like it. It was a circus. Let me knock this break out, James. Hang on. I'll be right back at you, buddy. All right. Well, folks, AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers. They have decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding their library of videos to cover all topics and their archive. That way you can see patterns over time. Educational videos with instructional topics. They cover all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, it's real easy. Go to AnglerU.com. You can become a member today and receive great discounts from their partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. That'll save you a ton of money. Go to AnglerU.com. That's AnglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 535 here in the Bayou City. All right, James, we're back, man. Slinging man. Jig heads.
But, you know, like I would think, you know, most of the time, you know, the carpenter really don't bite. They bite at night. But, you know, we don't fish at night because I can't see them jump. Hell, I don't want to catch them. But, you know, like right now, this time of year, you know, I guess it was, man, I forget what day it was. Maybe Monday last week or Friday. I don't remember. It was last week sometime. Mm-hmm. Man, dude, we roll into them in the morning and we got them. And there's a couple boats there. Brian and Willie were there, one other boat. We're it. And they're, like, everywhere, dude. We got them underneath the boat. I got them everywhere. We're throwing at them. We ain't thought about having a sniff. Them boys caught, and we rode down there. It was probably eight. We had fished there the day before, and they knew exactly where to go. And they rolled in there, and it was, you know, I'm sure really, really early. And they get two bites right away, and then then it faded, and then the boats, you know, finally got there. And it's a place I really don't like to go. There's a lot of boats there, but probably 10 boats. I'm looking at everybody. I can see them. I never saw a fish hook. And we moved and went way south, about 20 miles. And it was getting late. It was in the afternoon. I mean, it was like 4 o'clock or 5. It was pretty late. And we started seeing a fair amount. And they'd let you get close to them. When you got in there, if you got a bait in there, they were biting. You'd catch one. But just like that deal the other night, I've done that a million times all over the boat around us. You don't even get a sniff, dude.
I know.
But this time of year, he rode in there. Hey, if I'd have had 10 rods, I'd have had 10 of them on.
Isn't that crazy?
You can't. You're trying to reel in one piling on her. Hey, seriously, I'm trying to get a rod out. Get it out of the water. We got one, boom, piles on her. I jumped him off. But, like, we got way too much stuff going on. I'm going to get this rod out of the way. But, you know, most of the times, they don't bite like that, you know?
Yeah.
I sure thought that Friday, whatever that was, I can't remember what it was. Man, we're fixing to lace them out, man. And they're just, man, they wouldn't bite. They just wouldn't bite. I guarantee you, if there wouldn't have been no boats and the weather wouldn't have got windy, you stay there and I guarantee you about 6 o'clock that evening, I guarantee you they'd want to bite.
Yeah.
You got to stay. It's hard. You know, like trout fishing, Mickey, like we used to do, man. If you're going to fish into the dark, we go at, you know, noon or something.
Sure.
If you're going to fish early, go at 4 in the morning. But this deal, you don't ever know. Usually time, you know, I've had a lot of good days when there ain't nobody left out there just because I'm stupid. And my guys that go with me are stupid as me. So we just stay out there. And I've had a lot of good days like that. And I've had a lot of good not so good where you just come in the dark with nothing. So,
well, that's fishing, especially for tarpon. I mean, they're more fickle than a crappie and a speckled trout put together. When they don't want to bite, they're just not going to bite.
And like Cameron said, he said it's a hell of a lot easier to catch a blue marlin than it is to catch a tarpon.
Is that what he said?
Hey, I guarantee you, ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
He does it both. Pretty good at all of it. He said, nah. You know, these fish, and you can't hunt any other, you can't find them. I mean, a blue marlin, he's either going to be there or he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and because tarpons really ain't no spot. I mean, they're spots. Everybody knows the spots, but they're not spots, just areas where to go look. And
why do you think these fish kind of show up in the same areas every year? It's not really a structure thing. It's more or less probably currents and bait or what?
Mickey, not everybody, but I've been asked that before. And look, this is just my opinion. I ain't going to tell you I know. You kind of look. I used to think it was where boats don't go.
Yeah.
And I still think it is. But if you look at a lot of these places, it's in between something. You're between a jetty and a river,
mm-hmm.
or you're between a jetty and a jetty, and it's almost like they get as far right in the middle of there as you can get, where maybe nobody bothers them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that don't mean they won't be 1 mile from the jetty,
sure.
But consistently they're somewhere else. And see, I don't run a bottom machine on a second echo out there because let's just pick a number, 40 foot. Well, I got to run my bottom machine on 100 foot. So it's going to make everything kind of small.
Yeah.
But I bet if you look, because a tarpon, he is a structure fish. He'll live. You look everywhere we fish, it's good. And I told Larry this. We're in South Padre Island. We're up and down that beach. There's nothing. Brian will tell you this. I'm like, dude, there's nothing out here. We don't catch nothing. So, but at the end of, well, my point is the structure there in South Padre is their jetty. You look offshore, there ain't no rigs, there ain't no nothing. You look everywhere I fish, and I guarantee you, if you look offshore, there's structure, there's rigs.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't catch them out there. I've never really just gone out there to fish for them, but I guarantee you, I've come around a standpipe one time. I was running a school, like I don't like to do, but I was doing it. This was years ago. And I ran real close to this standpipe, like I had to move out. I'm looking at the fish. I'm not really paying attention. I said, oh, hell, I got to go around this standpipe. So I just cut to the east of that standpipe, like really close, like 15 foot, buddy, about 500, come piling off that standpipe.
Wow.
So I just spun around on them. I let them ones go I was fooling with, and I think we got a couple of bites.
Yeah.
But I can't say I know. That's just what I think. And then, like anything else, nah, there ain't no tarpons here. And then you look where you wouldn't go. But I bet if you got a double echo on that bottom machine and really spent, it's a clay bottom out there, or it's something on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, but they don't like to go where there's a bunch of boats, man. They just don't. And I think that Karen Weir, I'm talking about. So we're there Friday. It ain't nobody doing nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There wasn't nobody messing the fishing up. But those fish feel those 10 boats and them trolling motors and them bottom machines banging on them. They feel that, dude. They not going to bite in that. They're not. So we leave and go 20 miles. And actually, I got a phone call. It wasn't like I ran out and found them. I ran to a place. I ran to a report. But there's nobody there. There's two of us. And them fish are snapping. There's something about when you put a bunch of people around them fish, they don't like it.
Right.
He's a dinosaur, dude. He's billions of years old. He ain't stupid.
Right.
He ain't stupid.
Man.
But I guess all our redfish, Mickey, not that I want to catch them, but all the reds and stuff we were seeing, they must all come inshore toward the beachfront or the passes.
Well, they ought to be snapping with this wind and rough surf and everything. You know, that's all old timers. They used to wait for, you know, the weather to get really bad, and they'd hit that Bolivar Beach and just High Island and everything and just smoke the bull reds.
I guarantee you, the end of that north jetty and this east wind at about 23 ain't going to be too good this morning.
No, not really. Not me.
You'll have to fish over there by that concrete ship over there by Seawolf Park.
You know, and I've been seeing some pictures of some big croaker this year, you know, like 15 and 16 inchers.
I saw me the other day. They had them up there with their drums and maybe a few trouts or whatever, and they were big croakers. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a croak run. Hell, the croakers might be bigger than some of the trout.
Well, some of the pictures I've been seeing, they are.
Now, you remember when we used to wade in the fall up there in the north end? When we fish with spoons and stuff, man, you'd always catch four or five croakers a day on spoons that were nice ones. We'd string them.
You know, a tarpon lives about the same amount of, has a lifespan similar to a redfish.
Was it about 50 years, is that right?
Yeah, 50? Let's see. A tarpon can live for more than 50 years, with some individuals reaching longer spans, such as 60, but female tarpon live longer, potentially exceeding 50 years, while males tend to live shorter lives, around 30 years.
Man, sometimes I feel bad for old fish. We catch them, and like, I'm like, man, this old fish is old as me out here having to hop around. I'm out here bothering him.
Oldest tarpon in captivity ever was 63 years old.
That's an old one, buddy.
Yeah.
I think it's like trout, too, Mickey. You know, if they come, I say that. Wherever they go and they have, you know, a lot of feed, I guess they get bigger. There's fish here as big as the Louisiana record. We just ain't caught him.
Yeah.
He's here. I don't really know. You can't really go target a big tarpon. I mean, I've seen a fish, and I'll tell you, man, that fish is over two. You know, I watch him roll. And then I see one right behind him, almost flip out of the water trying to roll. It's like 30 pounds. 40 pounds, you know, so you just don't know. It's luck or draw.
It is. It's kind of like trout fishing when you're on a school of real big fish, is weeding that one, you know, mega giant out of the middle of those 7 and 8 pounders, you know.
Yeah. You know, Cameron said something interesting that I think is true. I think even on our trout, like we got them on a point or something on a reef, you know, back how we used to fish big trout, me and you, you know, at the pole and all them places.
Right.
I think your first cast, you're going to get your biggest one.
Yeah, I've seen
but
that.
Not always. I watched you walk back to the boat, and I swore you was catching redfish. And how big were them first two trout you caught before you caught that big one? Me and Pete's watching the whole time.
A 7, then an 8, and then the 10. Three in a row.
So there goes my theory out the window about the biggest one biting. But
I never had to pee so bad in all my life. I started just peeing my waders, but I walked out of that school after I caught that 10. I mean, that thing was huge. And I
me and Pete
on the
didn't
stringer.
Even walk down there. We didn't even walk down
I'm
there.
I'm whistling and yelling at y'all, holding that fish up. And Pete goes, oh, man, he's on reds down there. We'll just keep catching trout down here.
That's what he said. I think me and him and Roland was down there by the mouth of the bayou.
Yeah.
And we're walling out 2 to 3 pounders and like, oh, man, he's catching reds. Pete said, I ain't walking back down there. I said, well, I ain't either. Oh, that was pretty funny, man.
Yeah, I was heading back to the boat, man. My teeth were floating. And
anybody tell you they see all these 10-pound trout stuff in Galveston, there all these 9-pounders that everybody caught that they never put on a scale.
Mm.
That was a giant trout right there, buddy. That's a true 10-pounder.
Yes, sir. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I had me a 27-incher. Oh, he was about. I said, no, what did he weigh? Well, I said, well, you don't know what he weighed. You didn't weigh him. Huh? I don't care how long he is.
Shortest, fattest trout I ever saw, with old Gary Wheeler caught one at the refuge. In that Trout Master tournament in 96, it was 26 inches exactly, and it weighed 9.00.
Exactly. I remember that.
Pounds. That was a toad.
He looked deformed, dude. He looked deformed. Yeah,
yep.
You catch that one 30 inches, that's a real one.
Yeah, a 30-incher in that proportion, yeah, that's a mega trout. That's a megalodon. A nasty one.
That's a nasty one. Oh, well, I think
remember this time of year we used to we'd get these blows like this out of the northeast, especially if you had a low pressure down below us or a tropical system, and it'd suck that northeast wind and bull them tides up. We used to get up and wade places that were normally dry on normal tides. Remember all those trout we used to catch like that? That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was cool because nobody ever went back there.
New territory, man.
Hey, we had some fun, man. I remember me and you and Pete was up there one day, and it's blowing. It's so out to our neck. But, man, them fish was there, buddy. They were biting.
Boy, howdy.
A lot of fun back then, man. A lot of good stuff. Well, it's going to be good this fall. I mean, I don't know about no big ones and all that garbage, but I think as far
there's
as just
plenty of little ones. Ahead, you can get plenty of bites.
Yeah, it'll be good. Hopefully, winter we'll catch some big trout this winter, some bigger ones.
Bigger, yeah.
I was talking to one of my guys yesterday driving home, and this man got to take us to Mansfield. I said, man, look, I would like to go. Why am I going? I used to travel to go catch something big and get away from people.
My traveling days are over, man. If I can't catch them at home, I'm not going to get them.
Tell Mickey Mine, they're really are too. And I told him, I said, look, I'll go down there and take y'all for about 4 or 5 days. But man, you need to go get with a guy that lives there. It's going to take me 4 days to really dial it in. And plus, I'm driving into the whole city of Houston. Everybody's the guides in Fort Mansfield, Texas. I ain't going down there.
Right.
I'll stay right here and catch what I catch. Hey, I told Kenny last year, I said, dude, if we break down, I can't call anybody because Robbie's dead and you're with me. Who am I going to call to come get me?
You're right.
It was sad. It was pretty cool, actually. Nobody bothered me.
Well, that's, you know, if I want to do something different, hey, I'll just get with some buds and book Cliff or Rihanna or, you know, Jay or somebody and just go down there and fish with them.
You're exactly right, Mickey. That's what
that's
the hell.
The way
I'll
to
go
do
with
it.
You, too. You ever get something going like that? I'll go with you. And then it's fun. Then we just go fishing. I don't, you know, if somebody's paying me, now I got a little bit of stress. Now I
gotta
try to figure it out.
Got that thumb on your head, and what do you think, Captain? What do you think? Well,
and I don't want to coon finger those guys stuff that are down there working every day, whether you travel there or not. I'm not going to do that to them.
No.
So I ain't going. Plus, I ain't gonna wear to swim. I can't ride my bike. I ain't.
Oh, you can go a couple of days without doing that. I just wait more.
Walk
in the water farther, man. Put some ankle weights on.
My guy said, man, you need a power pole, man. You can let that boat drift to you. I said, dude, let me tell you something. When I get old enough, I can't walk back to that boat right there, I'll quit.
Well, you just start boat fishing.
Yeah. Man, you ain't got a power pole. You got to pick that anchor up. Same thing. When I get old enough, I can't pick this anchor up. We'll wrap her up.
Well, I got hooked on power poles when I was fishing them redfish tournaments. And when you're fishing shallow, and they are very convenient. But, you know, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, your bottom machine pinging and making noise and scaring fish, and they do. I figured that out one day. I was chasing reds, you know, shallow, and I'd get up to them and, with a trolling motor, and I'd catch one. And I said, there's no way, it's dead calm. I'm not spooking these fish. Well, it was my bottom machines on my trolling motor and my transducer on the transom. It was scaring them. I turned my machines off, and it was like they came to me.
Really? Yeah. I think you're right, Mickey, at times.
Well, turn your machine on and then get down there by your transom and listen to it. You can hear it ticking, you know.
Oh, for sure, 100%. 100%. Like that, the Omni that Cameron and I'm using, I don't know how the signal goes out, but you figured it out. Some people wouldn't figure that out. And I think there's certain days that it's like that.
Yes.
Now, when I'm seeing fish on top, and I've thought about that too. Me and Jeremy were just talking about that, turning my machine off. But now, if you're not seeing them, but just little singles here and there, well, now you kind of need your bottom machine. But I think you're exactly right. There are days where that's detrimental to you. It will mess you up.
Well,
you saw it. You witnessed it.
All the bass fishing I did with Will Kirkpatrick over the years, every time we'd pull up, you know, he'd get his areas marked and everything. He'd put the troll motor down. He'd just hit the off button, kill the whole dash, and shut all the machines down.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's when we were fishing in the spring when the fish were shallow. You know, it's different when they're deeper, but when they're inside, you know, under that 8-foot range, he'd turn his machines off.
And well, just I think you're right. It's something to, I mean, you did it. You saw what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I witnessed it firsthand on redfish.
I need to try it more. I thought about it. Then I'm scared I'm going to miss something on the bottom. If I ain't, you know.
Well, but my deal is with my boat, I got two of them running, you know, like bass boats do. Hell, how many do they have running? But,
yeah. I got two transducers too. I got a side scan transducer. I got I had a chirp, and it wasn't 5200. It was like 6180. So I didn't like that transducer. So I added another one,
right,
where I can go back to a standard 5200 kilohertz,
mm-hmm.
and then still have the side scan.
Boy, listen how we talk nowadays, man. We grew up doing this with a compass and guts and glory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, had a punch bowl for a bottom machine.
Hey, the genie's out of the bottle now, buddy.
Yeah, there ain't no putting her back in there either, buddy. It's over.
When I was a kid fishing with you, man, we drove around look for slicks. I mean, you found schools like that you can't
mega
fish like
schools
that anymore.
Giant trout in them, man. That was that.
man, I remember me and you one day. Me and you were, man, maybe it was in your Hydrosport, maybe in your Mako. And remember that creosote pole that was out there off the end of Deep Reef, but it was kind of wasn't on no reef. It was just like out there.
Right, yeah. It was out in the mud.
Yeah, and you was out there. We were chasing them fish under slicks, and I was on the bow. It was so cool. Mickey, look at all these drum. Then you see a trout, and everything was in there, man.
Oh,
that was so cool.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I think your Mako was pretty new. It wasn't your Hydrosport. It was your Mako.
Yeah, that's when we were just learning it, when I had the Mako, when I was just figuring that stuff out.
Yeah, you figured out pretty good. Like all that channel stuff everybody was fishing. I remember the first time going out there with you, there wasn't even nobody ever thought about going out to Ship Channel except Wendy and Winfield and Marshall.
Yeah.
Nobody else was going out there.
No. You had Marshall Deal and Wendy Marshall. That's about it, man. Times have changed drastically.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
All right, James. Well, speaking of time,
I'm out of it. Better be a has-been than a never-been.
That's exactly right, brother. Well, hey, throw out some info. Somebody wants to call you about doing a little fishing with you.
All right, brother. 409-771-7306.
All right, James. Hey, that was fun. A good conversation.
Oh, it's cool, Mick. I'll at you later, buddy.
All right, dog. Later. All right, that's Captain James Plogg down in Galveston. I'm going to give a shout-out to buddy of mine, a good avid listener, old Kevin Cook, man. He's fishing these kids in these bass tournaments this year, and they're on Conroe this morning. I wish them the best of luck. And Hank and Brody, Kevin, y'all get them, man. Make us proud. All right, time for the top of the hour break, national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.